Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Arsenal and Liverpool battle it out to a stalemate in a tense and tight affair at Anfield. West Ham put two past Manchester United as Erik ten Hag struggles to get good run of games out of his side. Tottenham's two early goals is enough to hang on against a dangerous-looking Everton. And Aston Villa squander their Friday night chance to go top of the table but rescue a point against Sheffield United. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
OK, my friend, there is only one place to start. It was the big game ahead of the Christmas fixtures. It was Anfield. It was Liverpool v Arsenal. It was a chance to go top of the table for whoever won the game. And it was Liverpool with Jurgen Klopp talking about a full Anfield experience, wanting to really test and challenge Arsenal, which in many ways I thought they did. First of all, Rob, what an super game of football, by the way.
Yeah, it was a super game of football, Rob. And, you know, as much as I was looking forward to a statement, I wanted a statement, Rob, and I'm greedy, right? We watch a game like that and we see Man City faltering a little bit and we're like, who's going to be the guy? Who's going to be the team that's going to really grab this and run with it? And I thought that Arsenal had a better chance of doing that and they didn't quite manage to do it.
No.
Neither did Liverpool. No. I thought it was a very even game. I think both teams had their periods of dominance where they were a little bit better. I thought Arsenal, for the whole, were better in the first half. I thought the second half, Rob, Liverpool found a new gear and a new level. Mm. And you see him clapping some... It was back to his crazy pressing, I thought, Rob, in the midfield. Just the first 15 minutes of the second half, a little bit more back to that heavy metal, which we haven't seen for a little while. And Arsenal got a little bit bogged down, Rob, trying to play through, trying to play around them to get the control that people like me wanted to see, Rob. Yeah. So I guess I'm a little disappointed in Arsenal because I thought they were ready... I'll throw it back to you after this, Rob. Ready to show their confidence, show how much they've grown, and play through that and match that physically and take control and really start to, I don't say dominate, but look the better side. There were periods in the first half I thought they did, but the second half they didn't. They couldn't against a Liverpool team that brought the energy in the second half that just stopped Arsenal's flow. What do you think to that, Rob? Do you think...
I hear your points. Well, I'd slightly disagree, Rob, as I would say I don't think Arsenal have to be overly disappointed that they totally didn't dominate the game to win it, because you're talking about the second-best team in the league. You're talking about a team who won titles not too long ago. It was a team that, you know, could go on to win it this year. And to get total dominance, to have... I understand what you mean in some respects to control, you know, their ability to break through and create opportunities that might cause you a problem. But I think that Arsenal can come away from the game, Rob, with a sense of, OK, we know we can do better. But I thought there was a bit of a maturity. Mm. I thought at times it got physical in the middle of the park. Rob, I thought they stood there. I got to go to him straight away. And people might think, Declan Rice, Rob, was unbelievable in that game.
Best player on the pitch.
Oh, by a mile, player. Rob. His composure. He was trying to control things. He was putting his foot in. He was covering centre-backs. Remember the time when the breakaway and Trent Alexander-Arnold hit the post? It was Declan Rice versus five Liverpool forwards. It looked like some kind of Hollywood bloody... idol. He pulled out a sabre and said, come on then, I'll take the lot of you on. It was like he was in another mode. I just thought he Rob, I think in the second half of the season will get better. His importance will be worse. I thought for Liverpool, and I'll pick two people out early. I thought Szoboszlai, I thought, Rob, put in a performance that wasn't all his attacking and his shooting and his thing. I thought he worked unbelievably hard. I thought he put his foot in. I thought he got back into the right-back slot when Trent went on to give them cover. I thought he went 50-50 in the midfield. I saw another side to him that I think will make Liverpool better moving forward. So I think both teams can come away. Probably in terms of learning, I would say I felt... better for Arsenal in that than I did for Liverpool. I think I know what Liverpool can be, certainly at Anfield. I understand what they can get to. I just thought Arsenal... There's an Arsenal team that would have lost there today. That would have crumbled under what was going on second half. But I thought they hung in there, and as a group, they'll be better for it.
Rob, maybe I'm getting a bit of a flipping... Maybe I'm getting a bit more critical as I get older, right? And I'm a miserable old git. When you're going over there, you're talking in a manner that's like, you know, Liverpool performances, Arsenal this and matured. And I don't know. I feel like both teams, in different ways, disappointed me, Rob. And maybe this goes back to my kind of... I wanted one of them to show me they're the real deal. And I don't think either of them did, Rob. And I know
what if it isn't one of those games,
Rob?
What if it isn't one of those great footballing type of games? What about doing it a different way? And in the end, they probably are quite similar in where they are. Do you know what I mean? I understand what you're saying. You want better control and better football and the rhythmical passing. I said a thing today, and I hope people understand what I think Arsenal are playing not quite as well as they were last year, but they're a better team this year. And that's kind of an interesting thing to say. You're like, well, how could they be not playing as well but better?
I don't know if they're that much better.
Yeah, I think they are.
I don't know
are,
if
Rob.
They're that much better.
I think they are.
Declan Rice would make any team better. So in that area or that position, absolutely.
You killed your own argument if so. But these are
the back two.
Well, I know if he stays fit, but the back two are better. Zinchenko, bit of an issue. Might need to worry about that. I think the Havertz and Odegaard, not playing particularly well, but better, knew what they had to do today. Wide players. Martinelli's not quite on his game. Saka's not quite on the game. But they're making sure they didn't lose a game, Rob. Last year they were losing these days when they weren't at it.
I'm just thinking of a team, Rob, that's going to go and be a champion. Go and be a champion in this Premier League. And I think if Arsenal want to be champions, I differ from you, mate, in a couple of these spots.
Yeah
there's potentially a better Arsenal team given that Declan Rice is there. But Martinelli is a shadow at the moment. He's a shadow of him. If his normal self, Rob. His numbers are nowhere near the same.
Yeah.
Kai Havertz has had a little flurry. He's got a couple of important goals. I like the way that he runs. When Gabriel Jesus is another one, by the way. Jesus isn't doing enough to be a champion team. I do like the way that when Jesus goes wide or deeper, Havertz goes forward. Mm-hmm. But other than that from Kai Havertz, apart from keeping it very simple on the ball, I still want to see more from him. And listen, I know that he's scored some goals recently. So... potentially, Rob, and I agree with you that there's more to come from Arsenal, but, you know, for to be champions, if you aren't having a goal scorer that's scoring 15 to 20 goals or more to be champions, the others, particularly the wingers, and we saw this with Liverpool, with Roberto Firmino, that got, I think, 15 was maximum, you got 11, you got 9, but you had wingers and Mane and Salah that scored a ton of goals. Now, Arsenal have the potential to do that with Saka and Martinelli. Saka's Saka. Saka, like, great. Like, but Martinelli's a bit off on the left-hand side.
Yeah,
the midfield kind of looking great. And we all want to say, Rob, we all want to say, this is it. This is the midfield that he wanted. Yeah, and he did want this midfield. I still want a little bit more from there. So between the midfield with Havertz, with Martinelli off a little bit, with Jesus, is one of his non-impact games. Jesus is either looks million bucks up there, does something really good, or has no impact in the game. Very little impact. Now, of course, Saliba being fit all season is going to make them a little bit better than dropping off last year.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean, Rob? Do you know where I'm coming from with Arsenal? Where, is that there, but at the moment, in a big game, we didn't see it.
This league this season, Rob, isn't going to be won by one team dominating and running away with it. We've seen that. City are going to lose more games. It's going to be not flawed in a terrible way, but it's not going to be the champion.
Maybe.
So somebody's going to have to win it in a slightly different way, and Arsenal have to... I thought today showed that they can. Arsenal will have better football days like they did against Brighton last weekend, and the football will get them going. Mm. But away from home, at Anfield, when it got hot, I thought they turned the gas up and stayed with it. And I think, going back on that coach, I would have a good feeling about the group. Yes, individuals can be better. Individuals can produce more, and they're going to need that. But I just felt that... I'm pretty confident with where they are, and I think Mikel Arteta would be pretty pleased with his team.
There's a play, Rob, that happened midway through the second half that was a defining moment of the game.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I sat with my son watching the game, and afterwards, you know, both teams, you know, there's a feeling of, okay, but if Trent Alexander-Arnold scores whatever minute it was.
72.
What minute was it?
72.
Was it the second?
72 minutes.
That is an incredible chance for Liverpool, for the home team Liverpool, to, with
of
the mistake that was made in midfield, for if. Well, yeah, with his quality with that right foot, and he had so many great passes in the game. If he slots that in, Rob, I think we're having a bit of a different conversation. And I know this is how it goes, swings and roundabouts, different games, different misses, different, you know. But that was such a, that could have changed the story and been so positive for Liverpool to win that those 3 points and set them on their way to a really strong title run. Listen, you might be right, mate, and people might listen and watch and say, I'm being a bit picky there. I just thought that Arsenal, Rob, and this is my expectation of Arsenal was to, I don't necessarily, and I know what you mean, Rob, I don't necessarily mean they're going to play Liverpool off the park at Anfield, but in the second half, when Liverpool turned it up, I just thought Arsenal might deal with it a bit better than what they did. They're on the back foot. They couldn't get their rhythm going again, and they almost lost it with Trent going through there. So that's my take, mate. And it's 1-1. And you can't say it wasn't a fair result given everything that happened. Again, a better point for Arsenal. But I just wanted more of a statement from one of the sides. Well,
that's why with the two Robbies, we come sometimes from different places. We often agree. And you know, it was one of those days where I don't think you could say anyone deserved it more than the other. If Liverpool take that chance, Arsenal created one or two in the second half, probably not as many as they would like, but showed a different kind of fight. Mm. And the top of the table going into Christmas, mate. So, move on.
Yep.
Let's move it on to London Stadium.
What have we got next?
London Stadium, my friend.
Okay.
We've got West Ham 2, Manchester United 0. So Man United off a 0-0 draw that felt like a win to some at United, and despite Liverpool having 34 shots. You know, maybe a performance to start building something from. You know, you stop Liverpool winning at home, you stop Liverpool scoring. You go to London Stadium to a West Ham team that have got dumped out the League Cup on Wednesday 5-1. A little bit of criticism for David Moyes for rotating and not taking it serious enough. A Manchester United team that have a week off to do some training, to get themselves set up for a game. And Manchester United come up short again, mate. Kind of the story of the season. Win a game, lose a game, draw one. No. But generally, I think they've won 9. Yeah. And lost 8, mate. If they're at it some days, or they get a bit of luck, they win. Otherwise, they lose.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's a big story because of Manchester United, Rob, but it's basically the story of any mid-table team. Yeah. It's literally what they do. That's what they do. They win some, they draw some, they lose some. And that's kind of where we're at right now in Manchester United. I know there's some injury issues. And the story is that they're a mid-table team. That is a story, given the time that the manager's had there and the money that he spent. And, you know, you're still sort of throwing together a team a little bit. I mean, I love young players bringing into the side. And Willy Kambuala at centre-back, Rob, seemed to do a very good job to me.
Yeah.
Look comfortable, good in possession. Mm. I love that. I mean, I love seeing young players coming through.
There was teenagers, a big call to play alongside Evans. In the lineup. Three teenagers, didn't they? Yeah. With Garnacho and Maino.
Yeah, Maino. Yeah, yeah. Maino, unfortunate for his mistake in the middle of the park. But that's a responsibility that position has, isn't it? It's a no. Yeah. You make a mistake in the holding midfield when people are playing through you and under his foot. It was a brilliant finish from Kudus, by the way. But that was unfortunate for him. I mean, I don't think there's, you know, in some ways, Rob, there isn't a ton to add that we haven't said already. Antony, again, always gets me making notes, mate. We watch a game and anything that stands out or whatever. Mm. And Antony's usually his second line. There was nothing. There was nothing. And I'll say this, Rob. I'll chuck it over to you. I think wide players, particularly young ones, particularly ones that know the manager very well in Erik Ten Hag, I think I always look for improvement. A winger's kind of, you can sit a winger down and say, listen, Antony, okay, this is the numbers right now. Let's try and improve effective crosses. We used to do it in our coaching courses, Rob. We used to sort of like analyse players and teach or learn how to develop players. And you'd write down a few numbers. I want effective crosses. I want assists. I want goals. you know, whatever metrics it is, or interceptions defensively, you set a table up of four or five and you work with the player to try and improve. You tell me, mate, what's improved about Antony? What's improved about this guy from when he's been at the football club a while now? Why is he not getting better?
Well, I'll answer you a question with a question. Name me a player who's gone to Manchester United and improved. Because you're picking Antony, I could pick you another five or six others. You buy Amrabat, Rob, you've got him on the bench. You've got so many players. I mean, Van der Beek's still on the bench, Rob. But looking, Van der Beek is still on the bench. Marcus Rashford's gone backwards. Let me talk to you about the centre-forward, Rob. Rasmus Højlund. 14 Premier League appearances now, no goals. I feel a little shorn of confidence now. He got taken off after 50 minutes. So basically at half-time, it was probably one of those, Rashford, get yourself warmed up, you're coming on. 50 minutes, Højlund came off. Now, as a young striker coming in at Manchester United, I think there's one of two things. And again, it's personal. You may have a different view in terms of how you manage that situation. I either feel we've got to go with this guy, go through a bit of tough times and get him out the other side, because I believe in him, I see in training, he's a goal scorer, we've seen moments in Champions League, but not in the Premier League. Or I go the other way and say, he's a young player, he came in with a couple of injuries there, I'm in a sitting, and I'm going to bring him in at the right time to get him. But I thought today, and his face told the story, when he got taken off, Rob, I thought it really hurt him. And it hurt him because, give him another 15 minutes, just see what happens. Does he have a moment? Does, you know, and it's not a team that creates. You say Antony doesn't give him any service. Garnacho is a clever, had a few moments, but doesn't particularly, you know, give centre forwards great service. Rashford come on and hardly had a kick. I just feel, Rob, we've got to do one or the other with this kid. Or I think you've got to be careful, you couldn't ruin him.
No, it's interesting again, isn't it? No Premier League goals. I mean, that, you know, he's got Bruno Fernandes behind him that can pick out runs and is a brilliant creative assisting player. I think the wide players, Rob, is interesting because, you know, I think wide forwards nowadays are tasked with scoring a lot more and are different to a few years ago where they're really there to cross and to link and to set. I think wide players, particularly Antony and Garnacho.
I saw it. They've got one Premier League goal between them. That was the wonder goal by Garnacho. It's a wonder goal. Manchester United's performances are based on individual brilliant moments without being supported by good football, any control, any kind of control of the game.
Can I give you a little quick comparison, Rob? In this, it's right onto your point.
Yeah.
How about a team that are finding ways now to be a good team? How about Dominic Solanke, by the way? Sure. I think he's got 11 Premier League goals, Rob. Solanke at Bournemouth. Mm. How has Rasmus Højlund got zero at Man United? Yeah. How does that work?
Jared Bowen's got 11, Rob. Jared Bowen, who's a wide player playing for West Ham United, has got 11 Premier League goals.
Yeah. I don't know. It's tough to do at the moment. The numbers and the performance of the Man United is tough to do. And we all know that Jim Ratcliffe is going to bring some money in and it's going to get 25%. It's going to be ratified in the next few days, you know, and he's going to address the football side of it, which we both said, once ripping up and starting again from top to very
bottom. Do you think he looks at Ten Hag, though, Rob, and thinks, OK, I'm going to give this guy the chance? Or is some of what's happening now possibly affecting his decision?
It's a great shout. And I think the latter. I mean, We know recruitment's been... There's a huge article, by the way, long as. I mean, the Athletic's great stuff, but there's a huge article about all the recruitment. I mean, I skim read it a little bit because it's so long. But so many decisions of, was this John Murta to the club? Was this Eric Ten Hag? Yeah. They ratified it. No, that was okay. That was not okay. This was a bad decision. They went for Casemiro because of this. They could have gone for Declan Rice because they could spread his money out over a longer period of time because he's a younger player on a longer contract. So many bad decisions. All that being said, right? The manager. Shouldn't we be expecting more from him, Rob? So it brings him, the longer this goes on, the more faith I think is getting lost with certainly the squad, probably the fans, most of the fans, you know, and people like us that are like, wow, even with all the
problems and
weird recruiting, they should be doing better than this. You know, with some of the fees that were paid for some of these players, they must have some kind of ability. You've still got the Jadon Sancho thing, Rob. You've still got Erik ten Hag that, for whatever reason, can't get Marcus Rashford back to his best.
Yeah.
What, Why? How? Mm. How is that happening? That's the manager. I mean, we saw what he did last year.
Yeah.
But this is a different season. And Erik ten Hag can't get Rashford. He papered over so many cracks last year with him in poor form. They're exactly what you might expect. So that, with Jadon Sancho, with other things that's happened, you know, with Johnny Evans playing in the Man United team again in the Champions League, these decisions are Erik ten Hag's. And he's going to be, the longer it goes on, I think it's looking worse and worse for him, mate.
Robbie Musto, I want you to change your mood. Talk to me about a player who stood out for you today in this game.
I can feel it coming. I can feel it.
Give me your underappreciated performer of the week. Who's a little creative talent who could walk into Manchester United's team now and make them better. Come on, give it me.
You know it is. I know. It's our man. It's our Brazilian magician for West Ham United, Lucas Paquetá, a player that I fascinated with when he came to this league. When new signers coming, Rob, we always, both us, we look at a lot of video, what are they bringing, and I'm like, wow, this guy's kind of silky. He starts for Brazil in their national team as a number 10 or the creative force. Started at West Ham United, Rob, a little bit slow. Expectations were high. It's David Moyes' team. It's the kind of little bit pragmatic, little bit defence first. He is maturing into a magnificent footballer. The assisting pass today with the outside of his left foot, beautiful for Jared Bowen. He's worth any admission for any fan into a stadium to watch Paquetá play. And you know I'm going to say he's a Champions League player. You know that Man City, Rob, are interested in him. But another example today, he got three assists the other day, didn't he?
Three assists against Wolves, gets the assist today.
So he's got they've got the long passing awareness. This little clip was a beauty. If anybody hasn't seen it, you've got to watch it on our
YouTube,
Our NBC YouTube channel. He's my underappreciated performer. We all know the West Ham fans appreciate him, Rob, but I'm just saying to the world of football, the world of the Premier League, this guy is really, really top draw. And I reckon in 1 or 2 years, he's going to be at a club when everybody's going to say, wow, he's great. We're just getting out there right now, my friend, that this guy's a special player. And he's underappreciated because he's a top-level guy.
Great shout. Let me stop you there. If I'm a West Ham fan, I'm a West Ham ambitious. I've got Kudos, I've got Bowen, I've got Paquetá, I've got Alvarez. I've got Ward-Prowse. I've got the basis of something not bad there, Rob. You know, can we not show some ambition and want to help keep on this? He's the kind of guy you build a team around and see if we can make it work. Remember, they're virtually playing without a centre-forward. Jared Bowen's doing a brilliant job, but his main role, he could be coming from those wide areas.
Yeah, but he could. But don't you like what they're doing now?
Bowen's up front, put a centre forward in.
Kudos plays wide right on that left foot.
Put a 15-goal centre forward in there. Bowen will still get you goals from the outside. I mean, he's got many. He moved out there today.
Yeah, maybe in a different. I just kind of like what I'm seeing at the moment, Rob. And it's Ward-Prowse that was as a little number 10 today, which is interesting. And you know, the way that Paquetá comes in. See, Paquetá can play anywhere. So if he plays wide, he's still going to come inside and do his thing. I kind of like Kudus on the right-hand side. Jared Bowen up front. But back to your point. Yeah, I mean, it's funny, club West Ham United, Rob. They've made some pretty bad signings that didn't work start of last year. I think Scamacca's one that comes to mind, a couple of others. And then there are other ones that have been spectacularly good.
Yeah.
You know what it's going to come down to with Paquetá, Rob, and we've seen this. Who's the other guy at West Ham? If a player gets the little whispers that Real Madrid or Barcelona or
whatever, went to Marseille, yeah,
that's the other one. Yeah. So if he's, depends on what sort of lad he is, he might say, you know what, like, come on, West Ham, I've loved my time here and I appreciate you bringing me into the league, but I want to move on. Or he might. West Ham's a pretty cool club, Rob.
Yeah,
I think everybody knows that. Yeah. It's a big old stadium. Mm. He might, you know, and I sometimes feel with Brazilian players, they can really get attached to the club that they're at. If he gets attached to West Ham United, then maybe they can have him and they can enjoy him for the next few seasons. I just would go on the, he's probably going to want to go to the play in the Champions League, mate. And I don't know if West Ham United are going to get there in the next few seasons.
No, we'll David Moyes, we trust. He'll get him in the Champions League, don't you worry, my friend. They're up to sixth, aren't they, I think? As things stand, up to sixth. Yeah, sixth in the league. So ticking along nicely and doing well in Europe. Let's move it to Villa Park, Rob. Aston Villa, Sheffield United, we're working on this game. Villa with a win, chance to go top. Sheffield United with a win, chance to come off the bottom. Mm. So contrasting fortunes for both teams. But we saw a Chris Wilder-inspired Sheffield United that made it difficult for Villa to play the football they wanted to play, blocked things off certainly down the central area of the pitch, with five at the back, four in midfield, and Cameron Archer as the lone striker. They rode a bit of luck, Rob. They got themselves ahead and could have easily gone on to get all 3 points. Late goal from Zaniolo for Villa. Lovely ball from Luiz and good run from Zaniolo. But I thought Chris Wilder and his team came out with a lot of credit from that game because we weren't really sure of them. We've not really seen too many solid Sheffield United performances, but given that he hasn't been in the place long, he'd set his team up, I thought a lot of credit for Chris Wilder. Mm.
Tons of credit, Rob. Really surprised me. Really surprised me. That was as good a organised defensive kind of setup against any good side that you're going to see for a long time, Rob. The 5-4-1. Of course, we have the tactical camera. We saw that it stayed compact. It's there was no gaps between. They're pretty narrow. It was a brilliant, brilliant defensive performance. And I was surprised, Rob, because the lineup, you had some of their more talented players, your McAtees, not starting in the game. Who else wasn't? McBurney wasn't starting.
Yeah, Harmer,
the midfield player. Yeah. Harmer. Mm. So they had, and I thought, oh, wow, he's playing some young lads. LaRussi at left.
Well, they play Luton, don't they, Rob? Boxing was playing Day. As well. You mentioned they were playing Luton.
And I just thought you
wondered whether he was saving them for that.
Yeah, he's like, save our better players for a game that we must win against Luton. So, if that was the case, the young players that came in did an amazing job, and they made it difficult for Villa. And we all expected Villa, Rob, to go on. Mm. There's one thing, mate, that I just think about it when I drove home from the studio yesterday. Like, when there's so many times now where it's not lucky or a coincidence that when you expect a big team to roll over a team that's not expected, it's so often not the case. It's so often. And teams often lose those games.
Yeah.
And it's not, it's just, and they've all done it. I mean, you could throw off some Man City shocking defeats in the past. It happens against anybody. Mm. And fair play to Villa, Rob, for sticking in there. And Zaniolo, the Italian, comes in there and attacks the cross really well. A bit of a Robbie Earl attack into the box and headed into the back of the net.
Friend.
But one of yours, that, mate. Yeah. So real credit to Sheffield United. And you ain't going to win every game, Aston Villa, even though me, you, everybody, I think, that looked at that game would think they should go on and brush them aside. They didn't. That was credit to Wilder's tactics and the players of Sheffield United rolling up their sleeves and putting in a brilliant, brilliant performance, I thought.
Yeah, and ahead of the game today, obviously Villa were in second place, and I said, what a difference it is for Villa fans to be disappointed to be second when we've seen some football where they just stuck in the league by the odd point and struggled down, in the Steven Gerrard days. Very different ambition, very different belief and expectations starting to grow, and that's what happens when things... I think you made the point, Rob, also, that teams are going to be more respectful of Aston Villa. They're going to set up and be different. Newcastle found that a little bit, I think. You start doing well and going up there, then teams look at you in a different way. And what the Man United and the Man Cities and the Liverpools have had in the past starts to happen.
Rob, we did it. I did it. I lived that for years in the Premier League. Our club, but both of us, really.
Yeah.
When a big club's come to town or you go into Anfield or Stamford Bridge or, the Old Trafford, know what you're going to face and you roll your sleeves up. This is one of the big boys. We've got to be at it today and we've got to give everything, and you often do, and you often get results. So, no, I think that is very, very pertinent for this game. And well done. Again, well done. And, we just didn't see that one coming. But they'll go again. Emery was still firing after I saw his interview, and he was still fired up. And, he was pretty pragmatic about it and saying you can't win them all and stuff like that. They'll go again, and we'll be ready for that on Boxing Day.
Let's take you to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. I didn't watch this one particularly. It was in that 10 o'clock window. I know you had your eye on this one a little bit more, didn't you, Tottenham-Everton?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Yeah, give us a summary of Ange Ball. And I saw some scenes at the end. It looked like they were hanging on a little bit. Vicario coming up with a couple of good saves and Everton pushing forward, and Sean Dyche not happy with the fourth officials.
Oh, well, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, first off, Tottenham team was, you know, like teams at the moment. Bissouma was suspended, Rob. So Oliver Skipp played in midfield. Udogie, the left back, has done so well, was out as well. And you've still got Maddison and Van de Ven. Brennan Johnson's starting to look very comfortable in the team, Rob. Made a really nice assist for the man of the match, really, for Tottenham is Richarlison. And his return to form is pretty amazing, pretty impressive. The coolness of his finish from Brennan Johnson's cross was so like a player that's a striker that's confident, doesn't try and blast the ball, just passes it into the back of the net.
Yeah.
And it's often happens with Tottenham, Rob. They started really, really well.
Mm.
Really, really good. Kulusevski is such a good player. They had one injury, I think, Romero, in terms of things to watch out for. Romero went off. I think we saw him with an ice pack on his, sitting on an ice pack, so maybe a hamstring problem or something like that. That's a concern given Van der Ven's out as well. And Eric Dier then comes into the game, Rob. And to be fair to Tottenham, to be fair to Everton after that, I mean, Everton started slowly, right? Mm. They started slowly. They conceded two goals. Heung-min Son scores a second goal in the first 20 minutes, 2-0 down.
Yeah.
After that, Everton played really, really well. There's a couple of reasons for it. Andre Gomes, Rob, came into the game, I think it was around 25 minutes. Now, we haven't seen him for blooming months.
No.
Like, he at times for Everton, way back, looked really, really good. He looked really good, Rob. Andre Gomes looked $1 million. He scores a great goal later on in the 83rd minute, but not just his goal. I'm not talking about him just because of his goal.
Yeah.
He's another player coming into this Everton team that's going to make them better. Mm. Because there's better players around now, he makes them a little bit better again. Everton were excellent, Rob. After that first shaky, slow first 20 minutes, they were really, really good. And Vicario was busy goalkeeper throughout the game. Throughout the game, who's making saves throughout? And Tottenham, as it is a calculated gamble, and that's Ange Ball. This was another Ange Ball game, Rob, where they looked like scoring, particularly early on, but really looked like conceding. And, you know, they had a few close calls. I didn't think they were going to get 3 points, Rob, because Everton were finding holes, playing through them. God, it's the way it is.
One, didn't
it's
a calculated he? They hit the crossbar, hit the goalie, just one of those goal decision
so
systems.
On that one, yeah, but there was a flag that went up. So if that ball goes over the line, then we're sitting down looking at VAR because there's two players in offside position. I actually think Danjuma was not offside, but the flag did go up.
Mm-hmm.
It was. You know, they cut. Everton cut through Tottenham.
Yeah,
more than you would think. They really did, and. I mean, I can't say Spurs are looking to get 3 points because I love the way they play and it's a gamble that they take and they know they're going to give up opportunities, which they did, but they come out on top. It's a great, they had a great reaction. They've won a few games now, haven't they? They're on great form. There's three wins on a spin after a shaky spell.
Yeah, come through that shaky spell and sit fourth in the table, which I'm sure at the start of the season you said, come Christmas, you'll be fourth in the table. Spurs fans would absolutely have taken that, mate. So, yeah. Good win for Tottenham. But I think also it's proof, Rob, that Everton are going to be okay, aren't they? I mean, they've taken 10 points off them, and I know they'll appeal and see what they're king about, but they're going to be okay. I just don't feel they're going to get drawn
into They're going to be absolutely fine. No, well, I had a good feeling about Everton, Rob, right from the start, with the signings that they made, more time with Sean Dyche, a full pre-season. I like Jack Harrison. He nearly scored today. And now, I tell you, Andre Gomes, and I'm sure Everton fans are touching wood, if he stays fit, he makes their midfield better.
Yeah.
Garner played in a higher position because Doucouré was out, Rob. Mm. Everton have got some players. Dwight McNeil's playing well. You know, Branthwaite was back in looking strong. You see the stories this week about all sorts of big clubs offering big money for this guy, Branthwaite. Mm. But at the moment, Everton are getting together a very nice team.
The Ginger Mourinho, never in doubt, my friend.
He's doing it. He's doing the bizzo.
Let's go to Kenilworth Road, mate, because Luton were facing Newcastle, a Newcastle team that lost three away games on the bounce, a Luton team that at home have given the bigger teams trouble, the likes of Arsenal and Manchester City, but usually come out the wrong side of things. Emotional game with the Tom Lockyer incident from last week and back in front of the home fans. Newcastle fans showing their support before the game. Rob Edwards saying to his players, you know, important that we think about Tomlin, important that we focus on the football as well, which they did, Rob. And Luton Town get away with a 1-0 win against Newcastle. Some might say not a bad time to face Newcastle out of the League Cup. One or two players not in form, and obviously the injuries just keep piling up. But it's a win, it's 3 points, and just what Rob Edwards and Luton wanted.
Yeah, I mean, this is that window. So I didn't see that. I wasn't watching this game. I watched the Tottenham game at this point. I watched the highlights. I watched the goal. I mean, it's a bit of a blipping shocker when you see that, isn't it? Luton Town 1, Newcastle United 0. I think you're right. I think it is a good time to play Newcastle. I think they're in the middle of recovering from a very difficult run of games where the same players played the same every game, it seemed like. But that's still a headline. And it was on the cross, wasn't it? Was it a set piece there, goal?
Yeah. Came and got flicked on by Ross Barkley, flicks it on
the back post, ahead of the back post.
Townsend gets in at the back post and scores a goal. I think it was one of those days, as I was watching the game, I wasn't watching this one fully. I was watching the Forest Bournemouth game. But every time I looked up, you see sort of Newcastle pushing forward. It was interesting, Rob, actually in the game, I think around 25 to 30 minutes in, Isak was on the bench, Wilson started, Miley was in midfield. He took off Miley and put both Isak and Wilson up top. It was like, you know, he decided he wanted more attacking flair. And as I'm watching the game and keep thinking, I'm thinking to myself, they're probably going to get one, Newcastle, somewhere along. Something's going to give. Somebody's going to create something. But the longer the game went on, the more belief Luton had and the more frustrated at times Newcastle became. And in the end, Rob, they hung on for a really good victory and a really important 3 points.
It really is. I mean, Luton at home obviously is their way out of this. This is their way out of the relegation zone.
Now,
that little old stadium.
And they play Sheffield United, isn't it? What a big game that is. Sheffield United.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, chance to put a little run of games together. And I'm going to go, my friend, to my underappreciated performer of the week. He's a Luton Town player. His name Andros Townsend. He started this season in the commentary box, doing an absolutely pretty good job of it. And two, Robbie's better watch out, because I think he's heading for one of our seats. I think 32 years of age, I was thinking, there's still a bit of football in him, really. I hope he doesn't sort of give it up too early and turn to the micro. I mean, there's plenty of time to get into the media. And I believe he's on a short-term contract. Now, my understanding is the contract runs till, say, January. I'd like to feel that Luton are talking about extending that to the end of the season. Because otherwise, I'm telling you, his phone will be ringing. He looks fit. He looks focused. We've seen him at Palace. We've seen him at Everton. He scores spectacular goals. He works hard. He looks like he's a good sort to have around. Chicken feet soup apparently is the reason for his form, and back to all the nutrients in chicken feet he's talking about. He looks at his diet now and he's really, really focusing in on his football. And I think he's one of those players, Rob, who many teams could do with. He's happy to be in the starting lineup. Looks like one of them is a good egg. If he isn't in, he'll come on half time or in the second half if needed and do his bit. Can play either side, right and left side. Got a nice personality about him. And he's one of them players that can get forgotten a little bit in Premier League. He's not a star. He's not a star maker. He's never going to win Player of the Month. He's probably never going to be in a PFA Team of the Year. But a good, important, honest professional who's had a good career, made the most of what he's got.
Yeah, it's one of those, Rob, where this is good for both, right? A fair play to Luton Town for giving him a chance back in the Premier League. Because when you get kicked out of a club or you get no new offers and stuff and the phone doesn't ring and you think about media, but fair play to Luton Town. And I hope that the two stay together, because, like, if you just said it right there, and if his contract's kind of got options to leave in January, I mean, that's like in a week's time, less than that. So I'd like those two to continue together. So I'd be amazed if that doesn't happen, given what he's done right now. It's a good shout, Rob. I mean, this literally is the point of this, underappreciated.
Yeah.
A guy that's basically playing, you know, with a few months' contract, hoping to impress to get more. So, yeah, he is underappreciated. If he's performing well, scoring goals in the Premier League, he will be absolutely fine. Just as you were talking there, Rob, another player, I think, for Luton that is rebuilding his career is Ross Barkley.
Yeah, it's a good
and
shout.
Ross Barkley looks... I mean, he looks really good, and it looks like he's just, you know what, this is kind of my last chance at the big time of playing in the Premier League and being an important midfield player. God, I remember watching him play for England, Rob, years ago, and I remember thinking, wow, what a player. What a player this guy is when he's dribbling past. It was down in Florida. It was a friendly game before
World Cup,
I think.
Yeah, it was an England game in Miami, wasn't it? I always remember you coming back.
It was in Miami.
Drooling over him, yeah.
I said Ross Park. I know. To see him live was... I'll never forget it, because we had a massive storm and we had to... The game was flipping postponed, but it was stopped.
Yeah.
We had a delay of about half an hour or something for the storm to go over. But anyway, yeah, but fair play to Luton Rock, picking up these players.
Yeah.
You know, that have been, they are underappreciated. They've been cast off a little bit. And I love to see these, particularly these two, showing what they can do in the Premier League. So it's a good shout. And Luton Town, bless you. It's an amazing story. Out there,
it's
incredible.
Rob,
one of the lowest budgets.
That point, and you just brought up something I did want to mention today. And I thought, fair play to Rob Edwards, because he's a young coach who's taken on two big players, really, big personalities, probably. Got more Premier League experience, but he believes in what's doing the right thing and getting them on side. And he's obviously got a good culture around the football club where they fitted. The other thing with Rob Edwards, I was listening to the press conferences ahead of the games. Obviously, we do our little bit of research and listen to the managers. And he said something that I thought was really important. It struck me, Rob. He said he's got a huge respect for Eddie Howe. And Eddie's like a bit of a role model for young English coaches. Who's gone in at Bournemouth originally, learnt his trade, now got a chance at Newcastle. And it's important that these young English coaches like Eddie gets a chance with a big club, big eight club, Newcastle, who can go to Champions League. And Rob Edwards said he's inspiring me to want to do better. I thought it was a really interesting thing that, the two managers together, that it is important that we have some English managers. You know, we all love Poch, and we love Pep, and we love Klopp, and we love Ange Ball, and all. But it's important we get some English coaches who are good thinkers, clever, can keep teams in the league, and prosper as well. And you just reminded me of that when you talked about Rob Edwards and Luton Town doing a good job.
No, absolutely right. It's well said. And the level of the Premier League right now and the tactical stuff that's going on in the league, it has to inspire and educate coaches, Rob, whichever level they're at right now. They're seeing and learning some legendary coaches. We're so lucky, Rob, to kind of get to analyse and to watch these coaches work with the different tactical stuff. I mean, Ange Postecoglou's brought something different. Like, De Zerbi brought something different. Like, everybody. And Graham Potter was one of those guys, an English guy that's a smart thinking coach. And he'll be back in the Premier League, I reckon, pretty soon after the new year when maybe clubs start to make changes. So, interesting point.
Yeah.
Of course, British managers, and there's still someone there doing a good job now, of course. But Eddie Howe is a good example of, if you're smart enough and you've learned which he has at Bournemouth, that you can get to the top. So, yeah, good shout.
Okay, just moving on quickly. In the whole M23 derby, isn't it? Crystal Palace, Brighton, big derby to the two teams down there. Ended up 1-1. Palace going ahead through Jordan Ayew. And then Danny Welbeck coming on. So lovely header from Danny Welbeck that brought Brighton level. Brighton had a couple of chances late on to maybe nick it, but one each keeps everything in that derby. And then Fulham v Burnley. Fulham scoring goals for fun at home generally against a Burnley team that haven't been great. But Burnley win this game 2-0. Odegaard with a lovely finish, Rob. Odegaard's playing on that left-hand side with Colioso out the team. He looks to be a bit of a player. He's got a nice finish. And then Sander Berge, your man, the big powerhouse in midfield, goes driving through and smashes one in low. And so it's a really important big 3 points for Burnley, who, to me, Rob, it's starting to look like... I forgot to go to Nottingham Forest, who we'll talk about. Forest, Luton, Burnley and Sheffield United look like where the three bottom teams are going to come from.
I know. Listen, they're all improving.
Yeah.
They're all improving. And I know, they had a bad start and it's difficult to rebuild in certain, particularly Burnley and Sheffield United's case, to rebuild a team with so many lone players going back to their clubs. Yeah. But it's a story. It's a story. And Burnley, I know what the record is. I know where they're at. We spoke with Vincent Kompany.
Yeah.
He was saying that we are improving. Mm. And I agree with him. I think the football is getting better. It's just getting the results. In this league, you never know. You can't reliably predict any game in this league. We've just seen that this weekend. You just can't. And for them to go to Burnley, you smashed somebody 5 the other week and win 2-0 is an outstanding result from Burnley. So between Luton, between Sheffield United's performance and this one, those bottom three are not going to go without a fight. Yeah. And if you're Nottingham Forest, or if you're Wolves, or if you're Crystal Palace, or if you're Everton, though Everton look they've got a good team, you know, you're going to be looking over your shoulder, because these three aren't going away. Let's go back to Nottingham Forest, Rob, because it was an incredible game of football. So you watched this one.
I was watching this game,
I'm going to rant about... You give me your bit, and I'm going to rant afterwards.
Well, I'll tell you how it started. It started with two yellow cards for Willy Bolly. One, a silly challenge that I think you accept. The second, a challenge that he wins the ball twice. There's a bit of contact with the player, gets a second yellow for it, which means a red. Because it's two yellows, can't go to VAR. Willy Bolly's off, so Forest down to 10 men in the first half. Go second half, get themselves goals through Elanga and Wood. But I have to say, Bournemouth have a man, bang in form. You talked about him earlier, Rob. I think it's 11 or 12 goals now in the Premier League for Dominic Solanke. Ability in the air and his technical heading is right up there with the best in the league. I think we've had him as underappreciated. I think you might have picked him a few weeks ago. Yeah. He is underappreciated because he's in that Ollie Watkins kind of mould for me. I think the next step up, he's good enough to play there. You know, he's a young player, didn't quite work for him at Liverpool back in the day. But hat-trick for Dominic Solanke. I don't think, you know, it would be remiss of us to move on without giving him a bit of credit. And Iriola, Rob, keeps getting the job done. You know, Forest thought they'd got a point. Solanke comes in with a late win and 90-plus 4 minutes to give them the win and all 3 points on the road. Not the start that Nuno would have wanted as Forest manager. And as you say, with teams winning down the bottom, Nuno needs to kind of get things going pretty quickly, or else they could get caught up in it.
They could. I've got to say, Rob, the Willy Bolly second yellow is a shocker for me, Rob. And I know you guys on the air today kind of talked about it, and you know, we got. I couldn't believe that was given as a yellow card. I couldn't believe it. That's an absolute. I don't want to say words like, that's a bad one, mate. That's a bad error. When you go to ground and you clearly win the ball and there's a little bit of follow-through. Because, you know, are we at a point, Rob, where you can't do any type of slide tackle, even if you win the ball? I thought that was... And that changes the course of the game.
Yeah, for sure.
And I feel sorry for Forrest, the fans. I haven't seen as bad of that one as a long time. And you're right, Rob. You described it perfectly well. Second yellow card. You can't... VAR can't take a look at it because it's not a straight red, which they took like every single one of them. I thought that was a shocker. And by the way, Rob, just I'm thinking about it, the other one that was talked a lot about on social media was the Odegaard. Sorry to go back to the Arsenal one. But I always interested when former players and pundits are kind of split on something like that. And there's a few people out there, I know Stan Collymore was one, I think a few others that said that's a clear handball, he's moved his hand to the ball. My take on it was, if you look closely, and this is just my take, his right foot slips away and both arms move in a reactive position because of the slip.
His right arm goes up to break the ball, one of those ones.
He slipped, and I think when you slip, you, and I think in slow motion, it's really, really close for him to deliberately pad the ball down from that. And I think when you look at the slip, his arm is going down as if he's going down, and then he pulls it back. It just looks like a direct smack of the ball, but for me, it wasn't. It was an accidental one as he slipped, and his arms, both arms, by the way. So this, you know, it can't be if both arms kind of move in the slip. Your take was the same, Rob, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was accidental.
The same, yeah. And I mean, it's away from his body. We spoke to the PGMOL and asked for their VAR, and they said exactly the same. And the hand wasn't in an unexpected position where it was hitting. It was in the act of falling that his hand went down, it hit his arm. Right. And so, I mean, in the end, it probably didn't matter as much as Liverpool getting the equaliser. But, it was one of them that split people and went on. Okay, my friends, we're going to wrap it up for Match Week 18 that lived up to all the billing. Fascinating fixtures at the festive times. Luton, Burnley won at the bottom. Arsenal, Liverpool and Villa drew at the top. While victories for Bournemouth, Spurs and West Ham ahead of Christmas Day. Look out for our next podcast. That's Thursday. That's December the 28th when we'll recap a busy Boxing Day and the rest of Match Week 19. But for now, I'm Earl, he's Musty. Together with the two Robbies, thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. Happy holidays to you all. Ho, ho, ho. It's a good night for me.
And it's good night from him. Happy holidays.
Good night.
Good night.